welcome, welcome. Oh my goodness, I couldn't wait to kick that off today just to say welcome to everyone here for the 24th edition of the Watkins Award Show. I am TP. Some know me as Coach TP, and I'm joined here by no other than, as you always know, my sidekick, the co-host, Mr. J. Everett Pearsall. And man, today we got something for you out there, ladies and gentlemen. I've already been warned a week and a half, I was already warned about this particular edition of the Watkins Award. Let me repeat again, the 24th edition. The first one was January the 25th, and now we're in July the 12th. Come back up, Mr. B. Come on, bring it. There you go. I want everybody to enjoy this. I want everyone to enjoy this. Now, Mr. Pearsall, there's a couple of changes today. I want you and the audience to know up front. First and foremost, there is no commercial. No commercial today.
Wow.
Yeah, because last week you told me with Matt Daniels coming on today, you say, well, you know I ain't going to get for 3 minutes. So there's no commercial today. This is free flow, Mr. Pearsall. You can come in anytime you want to. This is free flow. Now,
I really don't think I'm going to have to come in. I think you got it.
I know I got it because I got a couple of things that I got to straighten out. But before I even straighten these things out, before you and I get into this dialogue today, before anything goes on, before my listeners go into shock today, you know I got to do that disclaimer. I got to do that disclaimer. So the views and opinion of the Watkins Award Show are the views and opinion of Mr. Pearsall and myself, Coach TK. Now, one of the things that we don't want to happen here is for anyone to go into shock on this particular show. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. And as you notice, Mr. Pearsall has a strange looking background. I mean, he could have a green screen and he's doing something. But because of none other than Matt Daniels today, all of our sponsors and our commercials, you know, I want to make sure I'm going to get all of this out of the way right now. Joe's Crab Pot that I didn't eat in. Great food is in Eufaula, Alabama. What was I doing in Eufaula, Alabama? I don't know. I'm just driving around. Maybe I'm going to find a Watkins Award candidate. I have no idea. I want to, you know, also JMA Solutions. We always talk about them. You know, Exotic Car. I mean, hey, they've been doing a great job being a part of us, Ward Law Office. J.C. Loftins. You know, professional alterations and custom tailoring where Mr. Pearsall gets his shirts tailored, you know, gets his suits taken care of. Auto Quick Lube, I want to talk about them, those guys on 3120 Camelton Road. Now, also Magic Waste Valet, you know, we got to, you know, give them a shout out. Merlin Knight, he's the company president and CEO. I mean, he over 25 years of customer service experience. I mean, he does everything he can to make sure that you are satisfied. Now, I don't want you to blame any of our sponsors or the commercials. We because this show here is going to be off the chain. Now, one of the things we want to classify and get straight, we didn't done a little housekeeping here. What in the world is going on in your background, Mr. Pearsall? I mean, normally I'm seeing jerseys, but you know, this time I don't see a jersey. What's going on in your background?
Hey, man, this is coming through the miles. I'm broadcasting live and direct from Aruba, the island of Aruba. And so I would not have missed this for the world. You know that I love Mad Dog Matt Daniels to the bottom of my heart, and nothing could have come between me and my ability to be on this podcast today. And so I am now broadcasting poolside in Aruba, and just with all smiles and anticipation.
Well, I couldn't let you outdo me. I mean, clearly I was anticipating that I was going to do something else. But normally, Coach T Tate, you know, I have my real nice shirts on, you know, to go with my jacket. So today, I'm going to take my jacket off today.
Oh,
I'm
wearing my,
you know, I'm supporting Duke today, you know, because this, you know, I don't wear these shirts often. I only wear the shirts when there's, you know, a player from the Alliance, the Watkins Award. But today, I'm wearing my Dookie. You know, I'm on it today. You know, so you got your Alliance shirt on. I got my Duke shirt on because I'm supporting none other than Matt Daniels. Now, this is the topic of conversation, and we're going to clear some things up. So, Mr. Pearsall, let's do this real quick. The Watkins Award, who is a possible candidate for Watkins Award? Tell the audience, who a possible candidate for the Watkins Award?
Great question. So the Watkins Award is given away to the top scholar athlete in the country. But in order for you to get nominated, you must be one of the most premier basketball, football, and baseball players in the country. You must be. And when I say that, the top 150 football players, the top 50 basketball players, and the top 50 baseball players are nominated and given the ability to compete for the Watkins Award. And so when you say what athletes are able to compete for the Watkins Award, those are the best of the best of the best in high school.
Okay. Well, Mr. Pearsall, now the National Alliance of African American Athletes. So how does that connect to the Watkins Award?
Yeah, another great question. I see you on fire today. You are on fire today.
Mm-hmm.
The National Alliance of African American Athletes is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which myself and a group of individuals started back in 1989. In 1992, in honor of one of our founding fathers who passed away, Franklin D. Watkins, we began to give away the Watkins Award, which is the premier scholar athlete in the country. So since 1992, for 29 years, we have honored the top African-American male scholar athlete in the country going into their senior year in high school. And again, in the sport of baseball, football, and basketball. As an organization, we do much, much more than the Watkins Award. But the Watkins Award certainly has become one of our flagship events, and we're very, very proud of the individuals whom are involved.
Well, you know, what I do know about this show right now, people are watching this show around the globe. I have personally spoken to individuals over the phone, of course. We have spoken and we've talked about a number of things, and they really and truly enjoy the content of this show. So, you know, today, you know, I'm honored because, again, it all starts with one of the conversations I sadly had with a coach who said that this GPA stuff and this character stuff and, you know, all the things that embody an honoree or a honoree, he said that I was crazy to be looking. Now, here's the one thing I want to say before I get into some real touchy things. And that is, if you want a friend, if you're listening to the show right now, watching the show, if you got a friend who missed the show, we are also a podcast. You can find us on many of the major sites where there are podcasts. I mean, from iHeart Radio, Intune, Roku, Overcast. I mean, you go Spotify, you go, you can find us. You can do a search, just put the Watkins Award in there, and we are connected. Now, this show is being broadcast simultaneously. It's a simulcast to over 120 internet radio stations. Now you can go to some networks and you can find us being rebroadcast on those networks. So there is no excuse to miss this show. Now, the other thing is, I always talk about the fact that this show is free. We give it out information. We're giving parents and student athletes. Now, this is, as Mr. Pearsall said, for male, but females can benefit from the information that is being given away. And what we're doing is helping those student athletes who believe that they are willing to make the sacrifice and the commitment. We're giving them the information to be like these individuals who have been coming through this radio station for 24 separate times. So here now, today, we have Matt Daniels. So I wrote something up. I don't know where I said it. Here we go. I got something. I want to talk about a particular person. And this person here, I'm not saying anything bad about him. All I know is that his name, he's a representative, a U.S. representative. His name is Lynn Westmoreland. He's out of Georgia. He is a real Georgia politician who was a U.S. representative for Georgia's 3rd Congressional District from 2007 to 2012, and the 8th district from 2005 to 2007. And he is a member of the Republican Party. Now, politics can get real messy. They can get real dirty. But I want you to be able to go and see this yourself. Don't believe what we're saying. As I mentioned, I didn't want to put anyone through culture shock. Now, you can go by Facebook, type in Tyrone Tate. You can find me. You can go to Twitter. You can go at Real T Tate. You can go to Instagram, Coach TT, and the number 8. You can go and do a search, and you can go to the congressional record yourself and find this information. Now, Mr. Pearsall, what is your contact information if somebody want to go and get to your social network? Oh, Mr. Pearsall, we lost you.
My social network is much more limited than yours, but certainly you can go to our website at naaa.com, and all of those emails come to me. We have an email for the show, and then on Twitter, it's everready65, as well as on Instagram, it's everready65. That's everedy 65.
Okay, repeat that again.
At everready65.
Okay.
At everedy, the number 6, the number 5.
Now, I want to set this up because Matt Daniels is, first of all, from Georgia. Let's get that out on the tape. We got another Georgia guy. in the house. It, now, are you telling me these are the sharpest tools in the shed that keep coming out of Georgia, keep coming out of Georgia? Now, all I can tell you is Georgia just got athletes and they got scholars. Now, you can go online and you can go see online the congressional record. This here, the congressional record right here. I want you to just take a look. House of Representatives. Representative Westmoreland actually went on the House floor and read the tribute to Matt Daniels. He read this tribute, and the Honorable Lynn Westmoreland of Georgia and the House of Representatives on Tuesday, April 8th, 2008. And he said out of his mouth. Now, I'm going to get the recording because, you know, I know people who are listening to this like, this man crazy. What did I say? He was a Republican. And I'm sure those who in Georgia calling him all kind of names. But when I went to Matt Daniels' house and sat down with his mom and his father, I know the two of them looked at me. And when I said, this is what I'm going to do, I know they went through shock. But Miss Daniels looked me in the eye and said, okay, Tyrone, we expect you to get it done. I was on a mission coming out of that house because I knew that her eyes were burning through my forehead. But it said, Mr. Westmore, Madam Speaker. Now, this is the representative talking now, the Honorable Lynn Westmore, said, Mr. Westmore, Madam Speaker, I rise today. He rose out of his chair and he said, today, we pay tribute to a young man from Fayetteville in Georgia, 3rd Congressional District, who has excelled in the classroom and on the playing field. For more than 17 years, the National Alliance of African American Athletes, which is in there also, there's no other African American organization that honors scholar athletes that's in the congressional record. So has honored young men who exemplify the best in sports and education. This year, the top honor called the Franklin D. Watkins Award will go to a constituent of mine, Matthew Daniels, a senior at Fayette County High School, considered one of the best defensive backs in the country. Now, this is the call. You see the Republicans out there, I guess you're going to say that they lying. This is fake news. Okay, I'm just telling you what's written is written in black and white in the congressional record, the 110th Congress, second session, and said Matt Daniels is considered one of the best defensive backs in the country. Matthew has maintained a perfect 4.0 grade point average. He is a member of the Beta Club, the National Honor Society, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and other worthy community groups. This is the Honorable Lynn Westmoreland said remarkable. This is not my words. You can go online, pull the congressional record up yourself, go to my website, go wherever you want. On the National Alliance of African American Athletes, it's going to be on the website. This remarkable young man is unquestionably a premier scholar athlete in a time when very few kids in the country can barely stay academically eligible. Now, that was 2008. We in 2021, ain't nothing changed. Same thing. So it says, we go back, it said, a spokesperson for the National Alliance of African American Athletes said, Matthew lends inspiration to a younger generation that is possible to achieve perfection in sports and in the classroom. Let me just stop with this last sentence. Matthew will represent Fayette County High proudly next year as an alumnus when he enrolls at Duke University on a full athletic scholarship. Matt Daniels went down there, was academic, All-American, and ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, now, I know Pearsall is just smiling because I get on him about having them daggone Dallas Cowboy paraphernalia in the background. But look, that's the only time you'll see me wearing a Duke shirt. I represent Duke University because of who? Matt Daniels. And I will, of all times, say now I represent the Cowboys because of who? Matt Daniels. And no further introduction is due. I got Matt Daniels in the house. How you doing, Matt Daniels?
Todd, what's going on, baby? I'm good, man. I'm doing amazing. We about a week out before we get ready to head out to Oxnard, California to crank it up, E.
Hey, let's go. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Let's go. Let's go. Nah, man, Todd, appreciate the kind words and all the work that you put in to get that congressional record in the books. Man, you know, Mrs. Daniels is as excited and as happy as ever she will ever be just to be able to see that, man. We really do appreciate you getting that done for us.
Well, since we're talking about that, did you have any idea that you would be the one, the first African-American in the congressional record that would be known for his academic credentials and his athletic achievements? Did you know that?
Oh, no, I never imagined. Never imagined.
Just a young man from Fayette County, Georgia, doing something that had never been done before. I ask this question to everyone. And here's the question to you. You're walking around in the Daniels household. I mean, what was it like walking around your house as a young man? Were they beating you up about your grades? I mean, what was they telling you about school in the early years before you even got to high school? What was going on?
Having both parents in the household, was automatically an extreme advantage, especially with both of them constantly pushing me. The academics was a lot more important than athletics, and I learned that at a very early age. My mother and father were heavy on study books, quick books, how quickly am I able to time in me, finding a way, because they knew that I had a very competitive spirit within me, so it was always the clock against myself at a young age. Whether it's completing workbooks, math workbooks, how fast can I read, clocking how many words I'm getting in, reading within 1 minute. And for me, they found a way that really pushed me outside of my limits, just knowing how competitive I was. And with me having two older brothers to look up to who excelled in school as well, I was always chasing after them. Just wanted to be better than them. And that's just kind of what the atmosphere was. And our household was average just wasn't good enough. And we was always just chasing greatness and excellence. And, you know, another big thing is that we never really got rewarded for making good grades just because that was the expectation. So it wasn't ever like, you know, here's a $20 for every A that you make. It was always just a pat on the back, you know, that's expected of you. You know, we don't expect anything less now. You know, you're going to get that whooping if you come home with any B's or C's. Just know that, you know, that there are repercussions for not bringing home good grades, but never awarded for good grades.
So you get to high school. Did you have any plans when you were in a ninth grade to become a five-star athlete?
Nah, you know, it's funny because I never imagined that. I don't know, for me, football was always kind of in the back of my mind. For whatever reason, I never thought I was really good enough. It wasn't until I received my first offer from actually Duke University my junior year, going into my junior year, when I realized, like, oh, dang, I'm actually good enough to play collegiate football. And it was always a dream of mine. And so when I first got that first offer, that's kind of when I really gained my confidence and took my game to another level.
Well, you mentioned that they offered you, but you got offers from everywhere.
Yeah,
so how did you come up and say, you know what, I'm going to Duke University, because you had Georgia Tech right in your backyard. I mean, you could have gone to Alabama. You could have gone to any major Power Five school. So how did you and or you and your parents, because I'm sure they were involved in that decision-making.
Oh, absolutely. Matrix.
What happened?
Yeah, it was definitely a collective and collaborative effort for sure on my end and my parents' end. You know, like we started off the conversation just talking about the early childhood development and the press that they had on me in regards to how important school was. And so it carried with me through my intermediate years into my high school years. And eventually when it came time to make that decision, looking at what Duke had to offer from an academic standpoint, and not only that, but they were just to be honest, a very poor football program at the time. And so I kind of looked at it as a way for me to be the change. Me being just a high-class, highly recruited athlete going in there, I felt though as though I could put my stamp on my work at Duke that would allow me to basically set the tone to propel the program forward. And so when it came to time for me to make the decision, I looked at it as, you know, football, regardless of where you go or what you do, the NFL is going to find you regardless of what school you go to. As long as you just got to be good enough. And with that mentality, I felt that it was important to that always at the highest peak. And my mind is always going to be education and gaining that knowledge that's going to allow me to be successful in life. And so it just looked like a win-win situation for me to go to a high top tier university in the country, while also being able to play a game that I passionately love so much, and looking to just change the culture of a program that's been horrendous for many years on end. I just felt like I could be basically set the foundation and start something new. And, you know, it's safe to say that, you know, the program is on and up and up. We were able to win an ACC Coastal Division after I left. So you look at that program now and where it was at when I first got there, I like to believe that, you know, I left a stamp on Duke University.
Oh, it's no doubt. I mean, your name is legendary down there on the campus, you know. So you get to Duke, you leave high school, you get to a Power Five school, you got the academics that you got to contain. I mean, it isn't over now. Now you in it's the fire department. So you get down there at Duke. How do you make the transition? Who were some of the people at the high school level that helped prepare you to focus on the athletic side and also to focus on the academic side and be able to balance the two at Duke University?
Right. You know, I would have to say that as in high school, a guy by the name of John Strickland, who actually passed away 2 years ago, he was actually one of my high school football coaches. He was really the one that instilled in me the work ethic that you needed to basically just manage just football alone. And so with the work ethic that he instilled in me, that kind of allowed me to handle the football side of it. For whatever reason, school was never an issue for me. I always saw it as easy. It came easy to me. So the balancing of the school and the football wasn't as hard. It was more so just focusing and locking in on the change of pace of the actual football schedule itself, because it was so vigorous. And what they were asking of us to do when we first got in as freshmen. And so from an academic standpoint, it was kind of just going with the punches and just learning as you go, just getting your feet wet out there. You know, my parents gave me everything that I needed from just a fundamental standpoint, and just understanding critical thinking, being able to adapt. So I really didn't have much of an issue with just the academic side of it. It was more so just like you said, the balance of it all. And because I just wanted to be so good in football so much and really be a leader, I really turned my focus maybe a little too much towards football my freshman year than and really not focusing that much on academics, if we're really being honest.
Well, I mean, so you leave Duke, get your opportunity, because we want to make it clear. You had your opportunity and you actually played in the NFL. So you leave Duke, you go to the NFL. What's that transition like? Because a lot of guys just can't make the transition. So what, because you're so humble. I mean, you are and always have been the person that you are now. How do you make that transition?
I would say it was tough because they always say, you know, there's a difference between an athlete and a pro, especially when you get into the NFL. And what you see is that you got guys in the NFL who have talent, and then you look at guys who are talented. And there's a big difference when you look at that. And talent versus talented, the only difference is the E and the D. And I look at it as that extra dimension. So it's kind of a disrespect when you say, oh, well, this guy has a lot of talent. Well, when you look at it like that, well, we're talking about a guy who has a lot of potential, who really hasn't really proven themselves in the league yet. Whereas you look at someone and say, damn, he talented as hell. Well, he's already done it. And you look at the league and the guys who have talent and guys who are talented, the guys who only have talent don't last long. Because everybody in the NFL has talent. And it's the people who have that extra dimension what separates them from everybody else. And so for me, I latched on to guys like Cortland Finnegan, Chris Long, guys who were very talented and went about it in a professional way, understanding how to learn the game, how to teach the game with all the intricacies within the game, how to prepare for practice, how to take care of your body, how do you support yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally. And so I latched on to veteran guys like that who already proved themselves and had the work ethic and had the determination and had that extra dimension that allowed me to latch on and really understanding what it looked like to become a pro. And, you know, being a coach now, I look at it and I truly do see the difference between a guy that just has talent and a guy who is talented. And so that's just kind of how I looked at it. And that's how I was able to make that transition to the league, was just looking up to guys and latching on to veteran guys like Cortland Finnegan and Chris Long.
Well, you've had a number of experiences. I mean, you've had the experience from coming from grade school, high school, you're a five-star athlete, you go to a major Power Five school, you got to deal with the academics, you make that transition, you go into the NFL, you play for a couple of teams. Now, you know, you found yourself going back into college and coaching at the college level.
Yep.
You come to the pros, man, you got all kind of experience with this thing called football. So I just stop with this here. What advice would you give a young man and a young lady, but a student athlete? What advice would you give them to prepare to be able to find themselves playing at the levels and functioning at the levels that you are functioning at right now? I know that's a big question, but can you get into that and just find something small advice you can give a parent or a student athlete who inspires to get to one of those big time schools or just to get a free education?
For sure. You know, I'm big on the six P's. It's proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. And you look at it, I abide by it, I live by it. And you can never be too prepared for any moment. You know, they always talk about, you know, luck is when hard work and with the hard work and preparation collide or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it like this, the six P's: proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. So whether it's how I perform in school, how I perform in a game, how can I perform for a moment that I might not know is going to come within the game, and or on life, however you want to look at it. And you can never, ever, ever be too or over prepared, whatever that may be. And I think the biggest thing is finding someone or somebody. Well, of course, you have to have a self-confidence. You know, everyone isn't really self-starter. So who can you turn to? A friend, a mother, a brother, a cousin, whoever it may be, who is a support system that you can lean on that's going to basically put their foot in your behind to propel you forward. And for me, I always look to within myself first, but there's always some type of support system that I have in place that's going to help me get to that next level and really propel me and push me forward and making sure that I'm staying on track. But I always just think it's just very important that you always stay connected with people, your network. They say, well, your network is always your net worth. I'm really big on that. I'm a big people person. Sometimes we have to let down our guards and really open up to people who might not be or look or share commonalities or the same type of likeness. But that's kind of where you can find some good common ground and some good knowledge and good growth. Just being able to grow that network is very important and very key. I remember when I first got my very first internship at Duke University that helped me get, if I wasn't to go play football after I was done with college, I was expected to go head up to Merrill Lynch. And the guy that helped me out was just some dad. I was coaching an intramural flag football league for a job, and there was a dad heckling me in the stands, some white guy, and he was getting on me. You know, I could have reacted in a certain way, cussed him out, and did this and that. And so after it was all over, I kept my composure. He comes up to me, and he turns out to be a president of a Fortune 500 company, and he told me he really appreciated how I handled him heckling me. And next thing you know, he's like, I want to give you a job. And next thing you know, he gave me a job, and it was an internship that I needed to basically get my degree in public policy. And you know, that was that. But had I handled the situation any different or cussed the dude out, well, you know, who knows where that situation might have went. But yeah,
you're a humble young man. And with that said, you know, all honor to you, man. I've enjoyed the 15 years that I've known you.
Yeah.
I've watched you grow, mature, and certainly, there's not enough words that I can say to talk about you as a person. And God bless you. Your wife, you know, had an opportunity to watch you grow, watch you make this transition in life. And so thank you for being who you are. And, you know, with that said, I see Mr. Pearsall, you know, he probably sneaking drinks, freezing the screen and sneaking drinks at the same time. I'm getting out of his way.
He out here living.
You know, your boy, Matty Ice, as you call him, is here waiting on you.
Matthew Daniels, a.k.a. Yes, Big Mac, a.k.a. Mr. Daniels, a.k.a. Mad Dog.
Mad Dog.
And Hammer, a.k.a. Mr. Knockout, a.k.a. One Hitter Quitter, a.k.a. 150%, a.k.a. SWAT NFL Safety Part Beast, a.k.a. Mr. Duke Football. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys, what's up, baby? Man, what's up, Eve?
Good to be here. I apologize for the background noise. You're going to see people kicking the ball around. We got the palm trees in the background, but you know, wasn't going to miss this show no matter what. People know that I really was out of the country. That's how important it is to me. Saying that, when I had an opportunity to first meet you and your family, I came down and It was the first time I had an opportunity to see Fayetteville football. And Fayetteville football is big time football down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I saw you play running back, and I saw you play on the defensive side of the ball at safety, hitting like a linebacker. And I watched, and I really didn't know what Duke or any other school was recruiting you for, because you look like a five-star on both sides of the ball. But I sat up in the stands, and I got an opportunity to meet your graceful mother. I got an opportunity to meet your dad, so proud of you, and kind of telling me a little bit about your journey, and to meet your brother as well. It's been an absolute honor. Now, we all know Atlanta. In fact, there's some stories that I continue to hear about, you know, the challenges of being not just in the city, but the Atlanta area. The first question I'd like to ask you, all the things that you've done and all the things in the journey that you've gone through, thinking back to your high school days specifically, what helped you to become a five-star athlete with all of the distractions that you face? And I know that there are many.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing here, man, is I had a special, unique friend group around me. Brandon Boykin was a teammate of mine who went on to play at the University of Georgia. He was a quarterback at the time, and you could say that we were the two stars. He was also a five-star recruit. And so just having that support system in place, it was about six guys who I connected with really well, who we all shared the same goals. We all shared the same passions and the same beliefs and wanting to just chase greatness. We never really thought that average was ever going to be good enough, and we were always chasing greatness. Brandon, as athletic as he was, a friend of mine, Barack, was academically elite. Another guy who was a 4.0 guy who I always chased. And I just always try to figure out how can I make everything was just always so competitive to me. Every and anything that I did. So on the athletic side, I'm chasing after Bam. He gets an offer from Georgia. God dang it, I want an offer from Georgia too. What I got to do? What I got to do? I need it for real. You know, so that's just kind of how my mindset was. But it was just having that unique, special friend group in place who always kind of kept me always off. They always kept me on a straight and narrow. Whenever one of us get off track, another one will come in and keep us, get us right back on that track. And that really was really at the core of how I was able to stay true on a straight and narrow path through high school with all the distractions going on in the city of Atlanta.
Our listening audience ranges from coaches to mothers, fathers, cousins, and youth athletes, non-athletes as well. The question I always like to ask, especially Watkins guys, is give us an example of one obstacle in particular you can think of, and you can do too, where you had to overcome and how you overcame it.
Yeah, I would say the biggest obstacle that I probably faced was actually coming out of college. As an NFL prospect, I was a third, fourth round guy coming out. I was an All-American. And I actually ended up tearing my knee on my pro day. And my draft stock went down. I ended up going from a third round, fourth round pick to an undrafted guy. I didn't participate in any training camp. I was already undrafted, so the odds were against me. And for me, I had a point to where it was just like I was a good old why me kind of kept coming up. And I just didn't understand, well, why was it me that I had to go through this? And so who did I end up leaning on? That set group of friends, my mother, my father, my brothers. I go back to my support system to help me get through these struggles that I'm going through, rehabbing my knee. Odds already against me, just being an undrafted guy with a 2% chance, 0.00% chance to make the team. And, you know, I just grinded out the rehab. I grinded through it. And next thing you know, I'm dressing week one on a 53-man NFL roster. And I'm playing on a 48-man game day roster my rookie year.
Wow. Now, I have to let everyone know, I'm proud to say that I was there with you on that day. And as devastated as you were, amazing you were. That you were able to round the corner, accept that challenge, and overcome, you know, in terms of being able to do what you said, you know, make the 53-man roster and get out there and have an opportunity to bowl out. I think you remember this conversation that you had when you were at Duke, and it was in your first year, and Vince Ogbasi was the first five-star guy to go to Duke University, and as he, you know, ended his career, it was really a time where Duke football program was kind of on the fence. People were still kind of looking at it like, will this program turn the corner? Yeah. Scouts and teams alike were really out there, and they were saying, you know, what kind of athletes are coming out of Duke? And I said, the challenge that you accepted to go to a program like this is real special, but understand that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Vince passed the torch to you. Let's talk about how and why you accepted that challenge and how you moved it forward.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, man, VO did a hell of a job really stirring the pot, passing that spoon over to me. Me being who I am, as soon as I committed to Duke, hell, I turned into one of their top recruiters. Every single guy that I heard or read about in articles, Rival Scout, that they even talked to, I'm at the time it was MySpace. I'm MySpace messaging these guys. Hey, I'm Matt Daniels, five-star recruit. I'm going to Duke, man. Love for you to be a part of the change. Let's get, you know, I'm doing whatever I got to do to get other big-time recruits on deck. I'm on the phone with them. I'm in the MySpace messages, inboxes, doing whatever I got to do to be changed. And for me, I think, it's always about actions. And the minute that I stepped on campus, I was like, regardless if I was a freshman, I'm the first guy in line. I'm the first guy trying to finish across the finish line. And I'm just showing my superiors that I deserve it. I deserve their respect, and I deserve everything that I want and that I'm going to go get. And at the end of the day, guys fell in line with that. They trusted and believed in what I did because it was back with words, but it was also back right there with actions. And I think that was the biggest thing for me. And at the end of the day, if we're being honest, I was trying to push a message that Duke University was more than just academics. Like, we're not coming here to get a degree. Like, yeah, you know, we're getting a degree, but we're here to play football, guys, at the end of the day. And that's the message that I was really trying to drive, because at the time it was just guys who were there who were just really just looking to get a degree, and football was really second nature or really secondhand to academics. And for me, I was trying to just kind of change the narrative a little bit and really push football, 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 and we're going to take care of school along the way. And that's kind of how things really started to propel forward. Grades didn't slack because Coach Cut always held a very high standard in academics, and that was never, ever, ever challenged or taken for granted. And so, you know, for that, man, I'm just forever grateful for the opportunity to play for such a superior university, man. I freaking love that place. I love that place.
Now you go from, obviously, when I met you in high school, through Duke as an excellent student athlete and a guy that obviously can really be attributed for turning that program around and making it full circle, the competitive program that it is today, turning out draft pick after draft pick after draft pick. Yeah. Give us an idea in our listening audience, through this process, now into coaching, through your NFL and into coaching, what has the Watkins Award meant to you?
Man, it's so funny. People ask me about my accolades and some of the greatest things I've done. And always at the top and tip of my tongue is I'm a Watkins man. I won the Watkins Award coming out of high school. You know, basically the academic Heisman in high school, the Heisman in high school. And I can't say enough about what the Watkins has done for me and the network that is built for me. The guys that I get to talk to who've come after me and be the support system for them, a mentors for them, because, you know, like me, they're going through the exact same changes and difficulties and challenges that I went through in college. And now that I'm an NFL coach and I see things in a completely different light than I did when I was playing, I'm able to offer up even more information to these guys, man. And the Watkins has just done so much for me and my family and the network that I have and the knowledge of people and resources that are at my fingertips to help me get through life and help me towards the success that I'm headed towards.
And the only place, obviously, I'm in my basement, donning my cowboy room, which you have not seen yet, while I'm talking to a Dallas Cowboy coach, is here in Aruba, saying that, tell me some of the great things that you've done leading up to now in the community, some of the business adventures that you had, and now what you're doing. If people had to say, hey, Matt, what are you doing now? And kind of loop in a couple of things that you sort of bridged into. I mean, I know you came to Virginia every year and did a football camp, and you did a lot of your own initiatives. And when you're out, give us an idea of some of the things that you're doing now.
Yeah, so we actually, every year we put together a camp. When I was out of L.A., actually, it's a camp called Prison Fellowship. And we actually host it every single year. They travel all around. They've been doing it for over 20 years now. And I was able to connect with the head manager guy, who's actually Joe. He's actually getting ready to retire. He just did his final camp, actually, in Dallas. And so what happens is that we get a group of kids together whose parents are all incarcerated, actually. And so what happened is we get together all of the kids, whether it's one parent or both parents, are incarcerated. And we actually put together a football camp for them. And so we did it out of L.A. the 2 years I was out there. And we just had, we actually came to Dallas. They came out to Dallas Cowboys. Unbelievable job the Cowboys did putting it together, man. Providing equipment, football cleats for kids, shirts, towels. I mean, the whole gamut. They spent so much money and so much of their time. We had a lot of the players come out to celebrate with the kids. So I've been doing this camp now for 3 years. It's called Prison Fellowship. And it's always a great turnout get those kids. They need us more than ever. You know, a lot of them are really shy or a little standoffish. And so we kind of just find a way to kind of open up their shells a little bit more, get them to relax, and, you know, really just kind of show their true colors and true self-expression. And it's awesome just having the kids there with all of the players and, you know, the Zeke Elliott and the Dak, so they get to look up to those guys. So it's always a fun time.
I hear you. Dallas Cowboys changing lives.
Yeah.
Man, that's very powerful. You're continuing over and over again to use your platform to benefit our youth. And this is, again, we talked earlier about the fact that the Watkins Award is for African-American Scholar Male Athletes. The idea that that being an award for that, we're changing lives of genders. We're changing lives, people of all races. Because this is an award that's targeted for a certain type of individual, that platform changed hundreds of thousands of lives all over the country that is not specific to anything. And we appreciate the efforts. You know, we love you to death. Now, add one message, one sentence, one small paragraph that you could think of that you'll be a resounding message for someone who may be a youth or an athlete or what have you that may be listening to us today. What would be that one message, that one quick sentence that they could take as an elevator pitch, if you will?
I would probably say that, what would I say? I would say, you have two ears, two eyes, and one mouth.
Wow. Use them as needed and as purposed. Very, very strong message. And I think that when someone hears that message, they'll have to think about it, which is what we always like for them to be able to do. Think about that message. But more importantly, internalize it, take it home with them, and be able to use it. And I think at this juncture, I turn it back over to Coach Tate. Thank you, man. Bad dog, baby.
Man, appreciate you.
Matt Daniels, I'm lost for words, man. I mean, it was fun asking you the questions. I had more fun just using those two ears of mine to listen to the dialogue and the conversation that you and Everett were having. Because one, I've been around you and Everett a lot, and man, it's always fun. It's enriching. Yeah. I gotta ask this question. I mean, clearly in his museum He has this cowboy stuff back there. And I question him on it all the time because I am a Washington fan because I grew up in that neighborhood. And you know that's a big rival of yours. But yeah. I am going to say I got a godmother that's in D.C., and she's the only woman I know of that has been cowboy strong all my life. Daisy Luther is a major cowboy fan. So every time you said the word cowboy, Pearsall's eyes lit up. He was like a car in the middle of the highway with his lights, his head beam lights on. So Matt, how can someone keep up with you? What's your social network? How can somebody get to keep up
with me on Instagram at just Matt Daniels is the name. Matt Daniels and
that's good enough. That anything else they can go to the Alliance website, NAAAA.com, find out how to find you. Matt Daniels, we appreciate you. This is Coach T. Pate, my sidekick, of course, J. Everett Pearsall in Aruba. We got none other than Matt Daniels. And Matt Daniels, I'm sure you're going to get the Cowboys back to the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no question when you get ready to go. You used to go into the Super Bowl. So, look at him.
Yes,
look,
sir.
Look at him, man. You know what? You were Pearsall.
I'm a fruit punch, babe.
Stop it, Pearsall. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for being here with us. You've had none other than the Matt Daniels. Thanks again. Another edition.
All right, fellas.
All right, brother. Love you, brother. All you gotta do is put your mind to it.